Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem, Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're on Sechus Pesachim Daf Mem. So the three points we're going to focus on. Number one, beginning at the bottom of Daf Lamed Teslam Beis, the Gemara brings several activities to avoid since they might result in the chimutz of grain. Marzutra said one should not thicken a pot of food even with flour of oven-dried grain, for perhaps it did not bake properly, and will come to chimutz at the beginning of the cooking process. Rav Yosef said that one should not scald in boiling water two kernels of wheat together, for one kernel will perhaps shift and settle in the cleft of the other, and the bubbling, boiling water will not get to them on all four sides, and it'll come to chimutz. Abai said one should not singe two stalks of grain together, for moisture will perhaps seep out of one stalk, and the other will absorb it and come to chimutz. Rava said that this is not a concern, since the moisture is the juice of the fruit, and may peros in machmitzin, and fruit juice does not cause leavening. Abai retracted his ruling, but for a different reason. He said that as long as a liquid is flowing, it doesn't cause leavening. Point number two was taught in a braisa, ein losisin sa'orim bepesach. We may not soak barley grains in water on Pesach. Now, slightly soaking whole grain in water makes it possible to remove the bran completely by pounding the grain and thereby produce a finer flour. Now, this should be permitted because the grain was only soaked briefly and didn't absorb water before being dried into the sun. The Rabban prohibited out of concern that people not be careful enough and the grain will become chametz. The braisa continues, im lasas nispaku asuros lo nispaku mataros. If one did soak the barley on Pesach, if the grains split, they're forbidden because they leaven quickly. If they didn't split, they're permitted since they didn't leaven quickly. Rav Yossi says, if he wants to inhibit the leavening process, shorn v'chometz v'chometz somsan. He should soak them in vinegar, and the vinegar will contract them. But Shmuel said, the halach is not like Rav Yossi. And point number three, the next Mishnah states, ein nosin kemach otoch charoses or otoch hachardal. One may not add flour to charoses, which is not our charoses, but a dip containing vinegar made for use with meat, or to mustard, and if he did add flour, it must be eaten immediately. Rabbi Meir forbids one to eat it. Rav Kahana said, Malchokas otoch hachardo. The Malchokas only applies in the case of flour put in mustard. Of otoch haroses, divrei kol yisarif miyad. But in the case of flour put into haroses, all agree that it must be burned immediately. Rashi explains that the pungency of the mustard delays the leavening process. So once again, the three points are number one. Beginning at the bottom of Daf Lamed Teslam Beis, the Gemara brings several activities to avoid since they might result in the chimutz of grain. Marzutra said that one should not thicken a pot of food even with flour of oven-dried grain. Perhaps it didn't bake properly and it will come to chimutz at the beginning of the cooking process. Rav Yosef said that one should not scald in boiling water two kernels of wheat together, for one kernel will perhaps shift and settle in the cleft of the other, and the bubbling, boiling water will not get to them on all four sides and it will come to chimutz. Abai said one should not singe two stalks of grain together, for moisture will perhaps seep out of one stalk and the other will absorb it and come to chimutz. Rava said that this isn't a concern since the moisture is the juice of the fruit and may peros in machmitzin. Fruit juice does not cause leavening. Abai retracted his ruling, but for a different reason. He said that as long as a liquid is flowing, it doesn't cause leavening. Point number two is taught in a braisa, in losisin sa'orim bepesach. We may not soak barley grains in water on Pesach. Now, slightly soaking whole grain in water makes it possible to remove the bran completely by pounding the grain and thereby produce a finer flour. Now, this should be permitted because the grain was only soaked briefly and didn't absorb water before being dried in the sun. The Rabbanan prohibited out of concern that people will not be careful enough and the grain will become chametz. So the braisa continues, Vim lasas nispaku asuros or nispaku mataros. If one did soak the barley on Pesach, if the grains split, they're forbidden because they leaven quickly. If they didn't split, they're permitted since they do not leaven quickly. Rabbi Yossi says if he wants to inhibit the leavening process, shorn b'chometz b'chometz somsan. He should soak them in vinegar and the vinegar will contract them. Shmuel said that the lach is not like Rabbi Yossi. And point number three, the next Mishnah states, ein nosin kemach otoch charoses o otoch hachardo. One may not add flour to charoses, which was a dip containing vinegar made for use with meat, or to mustard. V'imnasa ye'ach miyad, Rabbi Meir oser. And if he did add flour, it must be eaten immediately. Rabbi Meir forbids one to eat it. Rav Kahana said, malchokas otoch hachardo. The malchokas only applies in the case of flour put in mustard. Avotoch charoses, divrei kol yisarif miyad. But in the case of flour put into charoses, all agree that it must be burned immediately. Rashi explains that the pungency of the mustard delays the leavening process. All right, now it's time to go to our simon for daf mem, and our standard simon has to do with mayim mem, and we use a swimming pool. So here goes. The Beware of Chimutz event by the pool featured fascinating demonstrations of scalding two wheat kernels with boiling water and soaking barley grains briefly in the water, and ended with adding flour to the charoses dip and mustard served at the barbecue. Once again, it's a motion. The Beware of Chimutz event by the pool. Pool, that must mean we're in daf mem. The Beware of Chimutz event by the pool featured fascinating demonstrations of scalding two wheat kernels with boiling water, which reminds us that the Gemara brings several activities to avoid since they might result in the chimutz of grain. One should not thicken a pot of food, even with flour of oven-dried grain. One should scald in boiling water 2 kernels of wheat together, for 1 kernel will perhaps shift and settle in the cleft of the other, and the bubbling, boiling water will not get to them on all 4 sides, and it will come to chimutz. So the Beware of Chimutz event by the pool featured fascinating demonstrations of scalding 2 wheat kernels with boiling water, and soaking barley grains briefly in the water, which reminds us that a braisa said, Ein lo sesin se'orim bepesach, we may not soak barley grains in water on Pesach, even though this should be permitted because the grain was only soaked briefly and didn't absorb water before being dried into the sun. The Rabbanim prohibited it out of concern that people will not be careful enough and the grain will become chametz. The braisa continues that if one did soak the barley on Pesach, if the grains split, they are forbidden because they leaven quickly, but if they didn't split, they are permitted since they do not leaven quickly. So the Beware of Chimutz event by the pool featured fascinating demonstrations of scalding 2 wheat kernels with boiling water and soaking barley grains briefly in the water, and ended with adding flour to the charoses dip in mustard, served at the barbecue. Which reminds us that one may not add flour to charoses, which was a dip containing vinegar made for use with meat, or to mustard, and if he did add flour, it must be eaten immediately according to the Tanakhama, where Meir forbids one to eat it. Rav Kahana said that the machlokas only applies in the case of flour put in mustard, but in the case of the flour put in the charoses, all agreed that it must be burned immediately. Rashi explains that the pungency of mustard delays the leavening process. So the Beware of Chimutz event by the pool featured fascinating demonstrations of scalding 2 wheat kernels with boiling water and soaking barley grains briefly in the water, and ended with adding flour to the charoses dip of mustard, served at the barbecue. All right, now it's time for a 4-blot back chazara. Daf Lamed Vav. So the Simmer Daf Lamed Vav is a lulav. So here goes. The poor Kohen who lived in a house made of lulavim. Lulavim, that must mean we're on Daf Lamed Vav. The poor Kohen who lived in a house made of lulavim ate his lechem oni matzahs ba'aninas, which reminds us we have different drushes from the words lechem oni. Rav Yossi Aglilu expounds the words lechem oni to teach that matzah must be made from something that can be eaten ba'aninas, which excludes making matzah from maaser sheni, which cannot be eaten ba'aninas. He focuses on the pronunciation lechem oni. Rav Akiva learns that lechem oni means matzah must be poor man's bread, which excludes making it from dough mixed with wine, oil, or honey. He focuses on the written form ani and says from the pronunciation of oni, we can learn like Shmuel, who says lechem oni, lechem she'oni molav dvarim harbe. The Torah calls it the bread of Oni because it's bread upon which we declare Oni many things, referring to Sipur Yetzias Yisrael. So the poor Kohen who lived in a house made of hulavim ate his lechem Oni matzahs ba'aninas. After checking the box to make sure they weren't made from Bikurim, which reminds us that Rabbi Yossi Gluy learned that matzah cannot be made from Bikurim because the Torah states, B'kol moshvosechem tochu matzahs, in all your dwellings you shall eat matzahs, which teaches that only matzah that can be eaten in all your dwellings may be used, excluding Bikurim, which cannot be eaten except in Yerushalayim. So the poor Kohen who lived in a house made of lulavim ate his lechem oni matzahs ba'aninas, after checking the box to make sure they weren't made from Bikurim, or as fine flour chalut and oversized ashisha. Which reminds us that it was taught in the Braisa, when the Torah states a matzah may resemble a poor man's bread, it excludes chalut, which is scalded bread, and ashisha. Rashi explains that scalded bread is prepared in an elegant manner with very fine flour, and ashisha is an oversized loaf, which the Miri says is ordinarily baked only for important company. Daf Lamed Zayin. So the Simmer Lamed Zayin is laser tag. So here goes. The laser tag team. Laser tag. That must be more on Daf Lamed Zayin. The laser tag team had to beat the clock and find hidden tefach thick loaves in less time than it takes for Kohanim to bake the lechem upanim. Which reminds us that there's a Malchus Beisham Beisol regarding baking pasava, which initially we believe is regarding baking a thick loaf off to a tefach thick, which is learned from the lechem upanim. When Rav Yosef refutes this understanding, since the lechem pani can be baked up to a tefach thick, because there were a number of factors that help ensure it didn't become chametz, the machlokas is understood to be about pas meruba, baking a lot of loaves in the oven at the same time, beyond one's niyomtiv needs. Beis Shammai forbids it because of tirkei yisera, whereas Beis Hillel permits it because baking a lot of loaves together improves the taste of the bread. So the laser tag team had to beat the clock and find hidden tefach thick loaves in less time than it takes for Kohanim to bake the lechem upanim, and then laser decorative designs on them, which reminds us about the concern of baking matzahs with tzrikim mitzuyarim, decorative designs. The concern is that women will tarry while decorating them and the dough will become chametz. One opinion is that the concern is only with professional bakers who are meticulous and take their time because they intend to sell these matzahs. Others say the concern is only with ordinary people, but professional bakers are adept, plus they have stamps that enable them to decorate quickly. So the laser tag team had to beat the clock and find hidden tefach thick loaves in less time it takes for Kohanim to bake the lechem upanim, and then laser decorative designs on them while they were frying in pans and exempt from challah. Which reminds us of the Malchus whether loaves fried in a pan are put from the need to separate challah. Reish Lakish says they are, since fried loaves are not considered lechem. Rabbi Yochanan holds they are chai because they are considered bread, and only loaves baked in the sun are exempt from hafrashas challah. They would also disagree in a case where bread was fried in a pan, where the flame was opposite the top of the pan, since this is considered a normal way of frying for poor people who want to conserve fuel. Daf Lamed Ches, so the Simur Lamed Ches is a Devar Lach, and we use chicken soup. So here goes. The exotic chicken soup, that must be one Daf Lamed Ches, a Devar Lach. The exotic chicken soup served with Maaser Sheni Challah, Esrogim, and matzah balls, which reminds us that Rav Asi said that the Machlokes between Rav Meir and the Chachamim regarding Maaser Sheni, whether it's Mamon Gavoa and Pachavim Challah, or Mamon Hediot, personal property, and Chayvan Challah, also applies with using Maaser Sheni for an Esrog, where the Pasuk says, U'kachtem Lechem, and you should take yours, and with using Maaser Sheni for matzah, where there's a Gezer Shava of Lechem, Lechem, connecting the Lechem from Challah to the Lechem of Lechem Oni. So the exotic chicken soup served with Maaser Sheni Challah, Esrogim, and matzah balls was sold next to the stall that marketed Toda loaves and Nazir wafers, which reminds us two different sources were brought for why Challah Toda or Kikei Nazir, that one made for himself cannot be used to fulfill one's chiyuv for Achilas Matzah. Rava said that the Pasuk states, U'shmartim etza matzos, and you shall safeguard the matzos, matzah mishtamer shel shem matzah. This teaches that only matzah that's guarded from becoming leavened for the sake of matzah may be used in Mekai in the mitzvah, excluding those which are guarded, not for the sake of the mitzvah matzah, but ushum zevach, for the sake of the offering. Rav Yosef brought the pasuk, Shivas Yamim, mitzvahs tochelu, 7 days you shall eat matzahs, matzah necheles is Shivas Yamim. This teaches that only matzah that can be eaten for 7 days may be used for the chiyuv of matzah, excluding these which are not eaten for 7 days, but for 1 day and one night. So the exotic chicken soup served with Maaser Sheni Challah, Esrogim, and matzah balls was sold next to the stall that marketed Toda loaves and Nazir wafers, where the owner was wrapping them up to take home as matzah, since business was slow. Which reminds us that Rabbi explained the reason that Challah HaTodah Rikikei Nazir that one intended to sell can be used to fulfill one's chiyuv for Achilas Matzah is that one anticipates changing his mind vis-a-vis all the matzahs he makes for sale. The person says to himself, if they're sold for a person's Toda or Nazir offering, they're sold. But if they're not sold, I'll fulfill my chiyuv for matzah with them. Daf Lamates, the Simur Lamates is a letter. So here goes. The Yeshiva pre-Pesach fundraising drive featured sending out letters. Letters? That must be more on Daf Lamates. The Yeshiva pre-Pesach fundraising drive featured sending out letters with lettuce in them, certifying that they are Mehudar Maror, which reminds us that the Lechatchila form of Maror is Chazeres, which is Chasa, lettuce, and it's called Chasa because the Kodesh Baruch Hu was Chas on us, he had mercy on us, and that the Mitzrim are compared to Maror because they started off soft and paid us for our labor, and then ended up hard and forced us to work for no pay. So the Yeshiva pre-Pesach fundraising drive featured sending out letters with lettuce in them, certifying that they are Mehudar Maror, grown from the ground, not from a tree, and totally edible. Which reminds us that maror must be similar to matzah in so much that it comes from a substance that is grown from the ground, it's herbage, and it's edible, and also can come from many different species, just like matzah can. So the Yeshiva pre-Pesach fundraising drive featured sending out letters with lettuce in them, certifying they are mehudar maror, grown from the ground, not from a tree, and totally edible, along with a piece of matzah they touted as totally chametz proof. Which reminds us that unleavened foods which are baked or cooked after being baked, as well as flour that is scalded, cannot become chametz if water comes in contact with them. All right, now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos, Shabbos, and Erevin. Number 1. Which of the one that unleavened dough that is baked or it's cooked after being baked cannot become chametz if it comes in contact with water? That's on Daf Lamates. Good. Number 2. Which stuff does the Gemara bring several activities to avoid since they might result in chimutz, such as scalding and boiling water, 2 kernels of wheat together? That's on Daf Mem. Good. Number 3. Which stuff do you learn the concern with baking matzah with Srikim and Suyarim, decorative designs, because one might tarry while decorating and they'll become chametz? That's on Daf Lamed Zayin. Good. Number 4. Which stuff do you learn the matzah cannot be made from Bikurim because matzah must be able to be eaten by Kol Moshvo Sechem in all dwelling places? That's on Daf Lamed Vav. Good. Number 5. Which stuff do you learn that maror must be like matzah in that it comes from the ground, is herbage, and is edible? That's on Daf Lamates. Good. Number 6. Which stuff do we have different shatim for what we learned from Lechem Oni? That's on Daf Lamed Vav. Good. Number 7. Which stuff do we learn why the Mitzrim are compared to Maror? That's on Daf Lamates. Good. Number 8. Which stuff do we learn that water for the Chag became Tamei? One becomes Tahor if he Shikun V'Akhlachach Yigdishan. One first brought in contact with the Mikvah before being Makdishit. That's on Daf Lamadalad. Good. Number 9. Which of the one the Rabbanim forbid soaking barley grains in water? That's on Daf Mem. Good. And number 10. which of the when the lechem panim was baked in a way that it had numerous advantages, so that it would not become chametz despite being a tefach thick. That's on Daf Lamed Zayin. Good. Now the three bonus questions. Number one, which Daf do we discuss the ending of the bracha for Asher Yetzar? That's on Daf Samech and Brachos. Good. Number two, which Daf do we learn that the Torah is 3,200 times greater than the size of the universe? That's on Daf Chaf Aleph and Erevin. Good. Number three, which Daf do we discuss visiting the sick on Shabbos? That's on Daf Yid Beis and Shabbos. Excellent. All right, so that concludes our pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichron wishing you a great day and great learning.